Welcome to Two Fat Daleks. My name is Doc. This is my good buddy Rorschach.
Hey, everybody. Hello, Hi. Doc.
Hi. We are here today to talk about our Lord and Savior. We're here to talk about the latest episode of Doctor Who. This would be episode 8, called Mummy on the Orient Express. This was written by Jamie Matheson. He has previously written for Being Human, Dirk Gently, which is an adaptation of the Douglas Adams book. And he wrote a movie called Frequently Asked Questions About Time Travel, which starred Chris O'Dowd from the IT Crowd. So a nice little sci-fi resume there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's a shame what he did to this episode. But yeah. It's
Once again, by the way, this is an episode of Two Fat Daleks where our opinions are divided.
Yeah, they are.
Much like Robin Hood.
Yeah, but, you know, we'll survive.
We'll survive.
We're not going to like every single one.
Right. So.
Yeah, right.
So, the episode opens with you see like a mummy on a train, and then there's this countdown clock that starts. And then there's this old woman eating dinner with her granddaughter, and she starts acting like, well, why is that man wrapped in bandages over there?
Yeah, she said, is there a fancy dress party here tonight?
What is going on? And they're like, what are you talking about? She's like, there's a man dressed as a mummy. And then he starts walking towards her like, bleh. And they did a really good, I think it was a creepy looking mummy.
Yeah, it was really, really well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, that man there. And like, nobody else can see the mummy but her. So it's walking towards her at the, with this countdown clock going. And, once it reaches zero, the mummy has its hands on the old woman's head while she's screaming. And everyone's like, what is this old bag screaming about?
I'm sure they didn't think that, Doc. Come
on. Well, they couldn't see it. So there's this old woman going, no, get away from me.
What's wrong with that old bag over there in the corner?
What's this old jalopy doing? it kills her. She drops dead at the end of the countdown. And then I think the camera zooms out, and we see that they're on the Orient Express, but they're hurtling through space. And then we go into opening credits.
Did you notice that the clock was also one of these weird... And I've noticed a theme throughout this season. It's the steampunk, almost.
The clock was an old-fashioned type clock.
Yeah.
It was like with the flap, 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 flap.
Right.
With the time. I don't know how you describe that. One of them old fancy clocks.
I wonder why that's a reoccurring theme, even in the titles. It's clockworks and...
I think specifically it's because this episode was on the Orient Express in space. So I think they were styling the clock how it would look on that fucking train.
Language.
Sorry, that fucking coach. So, then, after the credits, we have, the doctor landing in the, like, sort of luggage area, I guess you'd call it.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah. And Claire's with him, which was, very surprising.
Yeah, well, see, okay, here starts my problems.
Okay.
After last week's ending,
yeah,
I was shocked to see her. Now, we find out later it's been several weeks since the last week's episode.
Right.
But it kind of invalidated that whole great scene that Clara had. And I believe Clara basically said, just leave me alone. I don't ever... What the fuck happened there? I mean, that's such a weird...
Well, I don't think it invalidated it, and here's why. In last week's episode, Danny told her, like, you're not done with him because you're still angry. If someone can still make you angry, then you do still care.
Right.
Tell him when you're calm. So they clearly had some sort of calm conversation, like, look, I'm done. And then let's do like one more go visit somewhere, because they kept talking about through this episode how it was their last hurrah.
Yeah, this is it. This is the last hurrah.
This is the last thing they're going to do together.
Okay. All right.
yeah. So that it was like those opening scenes were like bittersweet, because it was like, this is it. After this, we're done. Because she was telling him, like, I just can't do this anymore.
Sure. Sure. Listen, and by the way, Clara looked fantastic. Yes. I don't think I've ever seen her so beautiful as she was last night. That is a stunning look for her, with her hair and the dress especially, and the I was really shocked to see her. And by the way, she was hardly in this episode. She was, you know, but it was an interesting twist there, and I guess you're right. I mean, that's a leap that it doesn't really explain on the show, though. I would have liked to have seen that, but
yeah, I kind of get why they did it, though. Again, it's to move things along. If we had a Clara-less episode, then this would have all just happened next episode. You know, we've got 4 episodes left. You said we need to get the plot moving, so.
Well, that's true.
I get why they did it. They just did a time jump and then had them calm and collected, being on their last adventure together. Like, this is it. After this, it's done. Let's go out remembering the good times instead of being angry at each other. Yeah. Or her angry at him, because he wasn't really angry at her.
But once again, Clara has been used by the Doctor.
Well, we'll get to that, of course.
Yeah, okay.
He's looking out the window, and he's explaining some of the, they passed by this black hole, and he's explaining the planets that used to be there.
Yeah, he said there were like 100, he said thousands of planets there, yeah. Didn't he?
And he's describing a bunch of them, and there's like one that's all made of shrubs, shit like that. And he talks about one, and this is when we find out, by the way, that they haven't talked to each other in weeks, because Clara does this, while he's trying to tell her about planets, she does this, like, monologue about how she thought she hated him. She really did for, like, weeks. But then she realized she doesn't hate him. She just can't go on traveling with him. She can't do things the way he does things anymore.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm starting not to like this Doctor.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so we get to, he's talking about one planet and how he visited it. And, the girl whose grandma died, the lady whose grandma died in the opening scene, and she looks like shell-shocked from it.
Yeah.
She's like, you're a liar. That planet has been gone for thousands of years. You're just a liar. And the captain of the train comes around and he's like, all right, just go to your room, break it up. Everything's cool.
What's all this then?
and so they explain to the Doctor, like, why she's distressed. That her grandma died, and her grandma was like saying that she saw a mummy. So it cuts to, like, the Doctor and Clara heading back to their rooms, and they're kind of discussing it. And Clara's like, well, do you think this is a thing? And the Doctor's like, well, she was the only one who saw it. I mean, she was an old woman. Dying is part of their job description. Which I thought was a great line.
Was that when the conductor had the, what kind of doctor are you?
Yeah. They had a what kind of doctor are you thing. And he said, was just like, oh, I don't know.
Internal parasites, or
yeah, intestinal parasites.
Yeah,
yeah. So
I think this Doctor hates humanity, Doc. I think he has a disdain for it, and he doesn't really care about what happens to us.
No, I disagree.
I don't know, Doc. Wait a minute now.
I think he's more of a big picture doctor.
Uh-huh.
It's not about the individual. It's about saving humanity as a whole.
Okay.
Because sacrifices happen, and this Doctor doesn't focus on them as much as prior, our last couple doctors did. He's kind of like, all right, well, that person died. Let's still try to figure out what the problem is. But we'll get to that, of course. So, right before they head into their separate rooms, they kind of have another little bittersweet moment where she's, they bring up that it's their last hurrah again. And Clara's like, well, but I mean, we'll still see each other, right?
You'll come over for dinner.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't know. Will I? Is that what you want? She goes, yeah, you like come over for dinner and stuff. Do you do that? And he goes, of course I do that. And it's sort of this weird, it's like a weird tense, almost tense scene between them because they're kind of realizing that he might not. He might not come visit her if she's not traveling with him, and she might not want to see him if she's not traveling with him. And it's kind of a weird, like, we kind of don't know what's going to happen after this point. Which I thought was done pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they head back to their respective rooms, and the doctor's in his room talking to himself, which this part I loved because you could hear him. He was talking in like two different voices. He was talking in his own voice, and then the other voice was like Tom Baker-esque, which I thought was pretty cool. Because he was going, all right, I'm 99% sure that everything's fine. And then he goes, 99%, that's a little too high. All right, 75%. Whoa, that's a big jump. We just lost 24%.
It's worrying him.
Yeah, he's worrying that something might be going on here. So he convinces himself to leave his room and go check everything out.
And he starts to knock on Clara's door, but thinks the better of it.
Yeah, he's about to like knock on her door, and he's like, well, you know what? She just wants a relaxing final thing. I'm going to leave her alone. And so he goes off without her. Meanwhile, she sneaks out of her room and goes to knock on the doctor's room.
Yeah, door. It was a sweet romantic scene.
because they're
both interested and concerned about each other, and they want to make each other happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe she was gonna like that was she was gonna go sleep with him. She's like, you know what? If he answers, I'm jumping him.
Oh my God! Do you think so?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think she would have brought like. Up some things like, you know, it's maybe we should check it out. I think she would just try to talk him into checking it out again.
Clara likes that adventure.
She does, and she didn't want to admit it, but she does. Which I think is clear when we get to the end of the episode.
Yeah, which I have a weird problem with that too, Doc, because I'm not sure what Clara's... Is Clara running a long... game scam here.
It seems like she's about to try to start one.
Yeah, okay, all right, great. Yeah. All right, okay, fine then. Yeah, I wasn't the only one that thought that, so.
Yeah. So anyway, the doctor goes off and he goes and finds the old woman was sitting in this, like, sort of futuristic wheelchair that keeps you alive. It's like sitting on a doctor all day. Like, if you have something wrong with you, it sort of tries to fix it.
Yeah, when are we going to get those?
I don't know.
Star Trek had them.
Yeah.
We got to get those medical beds. We can just lay down on them and they'll tell us what's wrong and fix it.
Yeah.
Goddamn Obama.
Thanks, Obama, for not getting us those medical chairs.
Yeah. Thanks, Obama, for not giving us the Star Trek chairs. God.
sorry, you made me laugh. So he's examining that, and then the train mechanic, is sort of hanging around in there, and he's like, what are you doing? And,
It was the engineer.
Oh, okay. I guess that is what you would call a train mechanic. Yeah. An engineer.
Well, on a train.
On a train, yeah. I've had it with these motherfucking engineers on my motherfucking train.
Oh shit.
I'm cutting that. So. No, I'll leave it in. Cause that was funny right there.
we can't start cutting our bombs, Doc.
I know. That would be just dishonest.
Yeah.
So they have this sort of a tense moment, like where this guy doesn't really trust the doctor because he's examining the chair of a woman that just died. Why is he so interested in the chair? And the doctor doesn't really trust this guy because why is he hanging around a chair of a woman that just died?
Right.
So they have kind of this weird scene where they're like, well, I'm going to keep things close to my vest.
Yeah, that was a weird scene because they were kind of feeling each other out for a second.
And I think good weird, though. I should be clear. Anyway. So.
He's talking to the engineer.
He's talking to the engineer. It cuts to Clara, like, sort of looking for the doctor still. And she runs into the girl. Her name is Macy, by the way, so I'll just start calling her that. Macy, whose grandma died.
Right.
And she's sort of walking down the hall in kind of a daze, holding a high heel shoe.
Right.
And Clara's like, are you okay? And she just kind of ignores her and walks past her. So Clara follows her, and they head back into the luggage area where the doctor is. Where the TARDIS is. Because there's a door in there, and she's trying to open the door because that's apparently where her grandma's body is. And she's like, they won't let me see the body.
So she takes the shoe and smashes a comm panel.
Yeah, Clara's like, well, let's go find my friend. He's good at opening locked doors.
Yeah.
But instead, she just takes the shoe and, yeah, hits the panel. And the panel has this sort of AI intelligence
thing that looks like something Gus. Out of Bioshock.
It did. You know, it reminded me of Bioshock meets Portal.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But it was this dude, Gus, who was actually voiced by John Sessions.
You're kidding me!
No, who's been on Whose Line Is It Anyway, and he's been on QI a bunch.
He's great on there. Yeah. I love John Sessions.
Yeah, so that was his voice. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they head in there, and, like, the only thing in there is, like, just some crates and shit, and then a sarcophagus.
There's a sarcophagi.
A sarcophagi. Sorry.
In the back of the room. It looks alien in origin.
Yeah, it's like future. Like, imagine what a futuristic sarcophagus would look like. That's what it looked like. Like a capsule.
Yeah. It's a big ol' eeg.
A big ol' eeg. Then I think it goes to the kitchen, right?
Yeah, we cut to the galley.
Yeah.
Doc, it's called a galley.
The galley.
And the lights, shit.
The lights flicker, and then one of the cooks starts freaking the fuck out.
And we see the clock in the corner of the screen again.
Yeah, and he sees the mummy, and nobody else does, and it's coming towards him.
And I thought this was a cool scene. He's in a room, and the mummy's coming toward him, and he goes into another room and shuts the door, and then the mummy's in the other room with him.
Now, but this scene is interspliced with the doctor had gone up to this professor dude who was on the train that the doctor apparently recognized. It was this, like, famous guy. Professor Morehouse was his name. And he's apparently an expert on myths and legends. And so the doctor, like, is talking to him, and he goes, what's the most interesting thing about the foretold?
Which is what they're calling the mummy.
Yeah, the foretold is a legend about a mummy that will attack you that nobody else can see, and it kills you in 66 seconds. So he's having a conversation with this guy, and it's interspliced with this chef getting attacked. So when they bring up the fact that you can't get away from it, it keeps, no matter how fast you run, it's like right on you. That's when it shows him going to the freezer, and then it's just in the freezer with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. This scene I thought had a great little nod. Because the doctor pulls out a cigarette case and opens it up, and it's filled with jelly babies.
Oh, I didn't even notice!
Yeah, and he offers it to the professor guy.
Jesus Christ, what was I doing?
I don't know. But I was like, is the doctor offering him a cigarette? What's going on? He opens it up, jelly babies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You would think I would have noticed that.
I know. That's a reference to Tom Baker, your favorite.
Wow.
Maybe that's why you didn't like the episode. You weren't paying attention.
I must have been masturbating or something. I don't know.
To Clara's outfit.
To Clara's outfit. cut that.
No, well, I'll leave that in. That's funny. So that chef dies, and the doctor goes to leave the conversation with the professor, and he tells him, because the professor keeps trying to guess why the doctor's asking him, what's the most interesting thing about the foretold? Professor keeps guessing all these things, one of them being that, there's a legend with the foretold that you can bargain with it or say the right magic word to get it to fuck off.
Right.
So the doctor goes, no, the most interesting thing about the foretold is that you were here to witness it.
Hey, Doc, I gotta be honest. This episode confused me a lot, because there was a lot of what we used to call in Star Trek Next Generation technobabble.
Right.
There was a lot of that in this episode.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was just like leaps of storytelling filled in with that kind of stuff. And it was really hard for me to follow. I watched it twice, actually. I watched it once last night and once this morning. And I didn't love this episode.
Right.
Doc and I were talking about food earlier, and we were like, it's not bad. Yeah.
We were talking about food, and I said that something was not terrible.
It's not terrible, yeah.
So is that kind of how you feel about this episode?
Right. I mean, it's I don't know, man. It just it didn't sink in with me, man.
Yeah.
Why am I doing that, man?
Man, I don't know. we'll get to our thoughts on, like, our complete thoughts on it by the end.
Okay.
Because, I have some things to say about it, too.
Shit.
Although minor positive. I think the doctor has the professor and Gilligan. No, the professor and the engineer in this one room, and they're watching the footage of the cook dying. And they do confirm it's like 66 seconds.
They're timing this from when the lights flash to when somebody dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Clara and the Macy are now stuck in that room that they went in. And they can't get out of it.
And Clara's fussing around with some wires, and Macy goes, "Do you know what you're doing?" And she, "No."
Yeah. Macy starts talking about how, like, her grandma was kind of horrible to her, and for years she has wished her dead, and now she feels really bad about the fact that she did die, like as if she did it. But it's kind of what broke her.
All right.
Much like my broken cooth.
That was inappropriate, talking about that dead woman, Doc, and flatulating from the mouth.
Yeah. So the doctor is back in this one room, and he decides he needs to call Clara. So he, like, rips a, what do you want to call that? Like a walkie-talkie thing off the wall? What do you call those?
Intercom.
Intercom mouthpiece. He rips it off the wall and hits it with his, sonic and turns it into a phone. Cause it's just a wire hanging and he's talking in it.
I missed that part because I don't think I've ever seen the doc use the sonic the doctor use a sonic screwdriver on a phone before.
Oh yeah, he does that to give them their universe phones that'll allow them to call, because they're in the future in space right now.
But Clara has an iPhone,
and Clara's able to call Danny back on Earth in his own.
Yeah, time. I know. Was but that not insane?
This is all the way. This started back in. I want to say Christopher Eccleston's time. He hits the sonic on Rose's cell phone.
Oh, that's right. Because Billy Piper called her boyfriend. No, her mom.
Her mom. She called her mom. Yeah. So that's been a thing for a while now, that they can turn cell phones into these universal time and space phones.
I wish I had one of those.
I know, me too. So, the doctor calls Clara. And he's like kind of talking over her like, oh, there's some crazy shit happening. And she's like, I'm trapped. And he goes, oh, let me come find you. And he goes and finds that she's in that room. So he's trying to open the door with his sonic. And there must be some sort of force field that's blocking the sonic. But then it opens the sarcophagus door on the inside. And the sarcophagus door is like slowly opening. And the lights flicker, so we get the counter in the corner, like, oh, shit, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, as the counter's going down, the doctor's freaking out, trying to get the door open. And then the conductor shows up. We missed fucking scenes, bro. I fucked up because we missed a scene where the doctor earlier talks to the conductor and shows him like his psychic paper and convinces him he's a secret shopper.
Which I had to look up what that meant.
Oh, yeah. That's where you pretend you're shopping at a store to give it a grade for the company.
Right.
To make sure the store is running properly. So he's pretending like he's a... Well, I think the psychic paper kind of decided his identity for him here, because even the doctor was surprised by it. He's like, I'm a mystery shopper. All right. he does this. Really? Hold on a second.
Wait a minute, Doc. Leave that in.
All right. Someone's vacuuming behind me.
It's the TARDIS. It's the TARDIS taking off.
Fucking roommates. Okay. So.
No, Doc. No. Let's leave it in.
We'll leave it in. But, goddamn. Because I do run a denoiser, maybe it'll get rid of that.
The doctor was at the door, and he was like, my friend's inside.
Yeah, so the conductor shows back up, and he's like, I checked with headquarters, and there's no secret shopper on this fucking train.
The language you have these people speaking, Doc, is just obscene.
Yeah. I'm a paraphrasing cunt.
The first C-bomb of Two Fat Daleks, ladies and gentlemen.
And it was on myself.
And I didn't even say language.
Yeah, you didn't need to. It was implied. And the doctor, also in that prior scene where he talked to him before, had figured out that he was kind of an ex-soldier who maybe got injured in combat and now wanted this cushy desk job.
Again, but, with the soldiers.
Yeah, but it's time for him to fucking step up because people are dying on his train. And he needs to not turn a blind eye. This was earlier.
Right. There's a soldier motif.
Yeah, so this conductor shows up outside the door, and he's like, yeah, we don't have a secret shopper. He drags the doctor off. Meanwhile, that timer's still going, even after we find out the sarcophagus is empty.
Didn't Clara say it was full of bubble wrap?
Yeah, it was all like bubble wrap sort of looked like, yeah. And the reason is it cuts to the dining car where a waiter is freaking out because he has been seeing the mummy. This whole counter. And sure enough, it kills him. And the conductor, Captain Quell was his name, who was taking the doctor. He's like, you know what? It's three. It's three people dying before I actually do something about it. And he uncuffs the doctor. And he's like, fucking do what you need to do.
Right.
The doctor realizes that... Everybody, like most of the passengers on the train are these other doctors and professors and shit.
Right. Did I see Einstein?
Yeah, there was a guy who looked like Einstein. I don't think it was supposed to be Einstein, though.
Okay.
He just looked Einsteinish.
Oh, that's never not going to be funny.
The doctor realizes we've all been called here for a reason.
Right. He's figured out that it's like a group of elite scientists and shit that are on the train together.
Yeah, and so whoever's called us here is probably even listening right now. And sure enough, the train stops. And that, that Gus AI thing that was guarding the door kind of takes control of the whole train.
And it's like a HAL situation.
Yeah. And it, so it like turns off like this hologram filter they had on everything.
Yeah. Which was a cool scene because the train wasn't this archaic, Victorian looking thing. And it becomes like this really futuristic thing. And then passengers start disappearing.
Disappear. And it turns out that they were, holograms as well.
Yeah.
Just to fill the numbers.
I thought that was cool.
There was the funny part was the captain goes, one of the guys that disappeared, he says about him, that guy was my best security officer.
Yeah, he did. And it was like, he must have known him a long time.
Yeah. It turns out that Gus, this AI, has brought all these scientists here so they can study the foretold and figure out what it is.
Doc, who put the foretold on the train, though?
Well, that's the thing, is that there's a scroll that the foretold kind of hangs in the vicinity of.
Right, so they look like runes.
Yeah, so they put this scroll on the train, and that's why the foretold's on the train.
Okay, all right.
Okay, all right.
Okay, all right.
All right.
Okay.
So it wants to figure out, you know, what the fuck this thing is. And how to either stop it or reverse engineer it or figure out just what's going on with it. So that's why it has all these scientists and the doctor himself on there.
Wasn't it around this time that the doctor and they figured out that the mummy was going after people? God, how should I say?
Who have issues.
Issues, yeah.
And it goes kind of in order of worst to least.
Because the conductor said that that cook was sick.
Yeah, the old woman was over 100.
Right.
So she had her own fucking medical shit. That's why she's sitting in a medical chair. The cook had like some sort of blood disease that wasn't contagious. Right. But they kept it quiet anyway because he's a cook. You know, people freak out if you think one of your cooks has a disease.
Yeah, especially a blood one.
Yeah, but it wasn't contagious.
Sure.
Sure. Then, Professor Morehouse, that guy we met earlier, who was kind of the expert on myths, the lights flicker and he suddenly sees the foretold.
Yeah.
So the doctor's like, all right, describe it to me. He's trying to pump him for information. And, he's like, well, he's wrapped in bandages and he looks like a fucking mummy. Yeah. And the doctor's like, well, yeah, but be more observant. Like, I need details here. And the guy kind of ignores the doctor's request for details and just starts trying to bargain for his life.
Which, that kind of got to me. He was like, I'll give you everything I own. Please don't. I mean, it was so sad, kind of. Yeah.
He even yelled, I'll give you, like, you can have my soul and shit. Like, he was trying to think of anything to say. To bargain with this mummy to make it not kill him.
It was a sad scene there, man.
Yeah.
And
sure enough, the mummy kills him. And then that's, I think, because that guy had some sort of emotional trauma. He had like night terrors that were keeping him up at night or some shit. So they realize that that's what it's doing. It's just going after people with issues. The conductor, meanwhile, kind of goes, well, shit, you were right that I'm an ex-soldier. I wasn't wounded in battle, but I am the only survivor of my platoon.
Right.
And that's kind of haunted me for years. And the doctor's like, all right, well, you're probably next then.
The lights flashed again, right?
Yeah. No, he calls Clara actually, talk to her again, and she's like looking through files and finds that there's been other ships that have apparently gone through this experiment and they've all failed. The AI thing, Gus, is like, please terminate your phone call. And the doctor's just not paying attention to him. And so what Gus does is he opens the airlock of the kitchen and kills all the cooks.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
To sort of tell them, like, if you don't fucking focus on this problem, I'm going to keep opening train cars and killing people.
And they looked out the window, and there were all the cooks floating out in space.
Yeah.
Frozen.
Let it go, let it go.
Yeah.
Frozen. Anyway.
I love that movie. No,
we can all bomb. That's fine.
It makes me cry.
Oh.
Because the girl who has control of ice. Okay, I'll quit.
We'll start a Frozen podcast.
Yeah, we'll start a Frozen podcast.
Two fat snowmen. So, sure enough, the lights flicker again, and the captain sees the mummy.
Yeah.
He does a much better job of describing it than the last guy.
Doc, which one was the one that pulled out his gun and said, if I'm going to die, I'm not going to go down with... Yeah, he says, I'm not going to go down with bullets in my gun. Yeah. I love that. That's so English.
Yeah, it is.
It was so English sounding. Listen, I'm not going to die with bullets in my gun.
So, so that guy's, you know, is describing the mummy and shit, like,
And this was another great scene because the doctor stood in front of where the mummy was and the mummy's hand went through him.
Yeah,
and
it was like a ghost.
And it was so well done, too, because it looked like the doctor's face was stretching a little bit, yeah. And it was really cool scene.
And the doctor tells the guy to back up, to see what the mummy does, and the mummy teleports behind him.
Yeah.
And that's when the doctor starts to realize shit, like, okay, the mummy has a teleporter.
66 seconds.
Yeah, what takes 66 seconds? And the engineer guy goes, a phase shift takes about a minute. It turns out what's going on here. The conductor said that when he was looking at the mummy, it was like blurry. Like when you look at it, it's kind of like it's trying to force you to not look at it almost.
Yeah.
Because it's like this blurry haze. So the doctor figures out what's going on is the mummy is sort of phase shifting people out of almost out of their plane. So we can still see the person, but the person's technically on another plane where the mummy is. And so that's why nobody else could see the mummy. So that's kind of what's going on here. And it takes about 66 seconds for that apparently to recharge.
You are correct, sir.
Thank you. So, sure enough, that guy dies.
Yeah, another guy dies.
Yeah. And then it's after that is when the doctor puts all those pieces together. It has a teleporter, it's phase locking you or whatever. And so they figure out by checking everyone's medical history that the person probably most likely to die now is Macy because That's of right. the because of her grandma dying. Now she's feeling very that's kind of a trauma for her. He calls Clara and tells them to come back.
Here's why I'm starting to dislike this doctor and is, as you say, he has a big picture, but I think he has a indifference to humanity. He tells Clara, get her up here, lie to her.
Yeah, because he's pretty much going to use her as bait to get the mummy.
Oh, God.
And, she's it's like, well, just, we can see.
That's the worst, Doc. That's the worst.
I think you missed a part then.
Uh-oh.
The fact that you find that the worst, because we're supposed to find that the worst right now. So the doctor says, you know, we need to get her back here because the mummy's going to attack her next. We need to observe it.
Right.
And Clara's like, well, so we're not going to save her? And he goes, well, we gotta figure out what's going on first. We're probably not going to be able to save her. But just get her down here. Lie to her if you have to get her here. So Clara is kind of – you can tell she's like pissed but also realizes that they need to get out of there. So she tells her, all right, the doctor can save you. We need to go. So Gus, the AI, unlocks the door so that they can leave. And Clara, clever girl – tries to make a run for the TARDIS. Because she right now is pissed at the doctor for saying, just lie to her. So Clara tries to go for the TARDIS, and she even reveals later that she was going to walk into the TARDIS, pull levers, and hope for the best and get them the fuck out of there. But there's a force field in front of the TARDIS that's not letting them leave. So she takes the girl back to the train car, the main train car. Clara's kind of annoyed at the doctor, and she's like, all right, we're here. We tried to go to the TARDIS, and that's when she tells him, like, that we were just going to leave. But there's a force field, and he goes, oh, they're probably trying to block our escape. And she goes, well, how do they even know what that is? Unless they know who you are. And that's when the doctor reveals that apparently they've been trying to get him on this train for a while. They'd send tickets. Yeah. You want a free trip on a train?
Yeah.
They send tickets. And then he even called the TARDIS once. Now, that is the connection to Matt Smith's – the last episode of Series 5 where Matt Smith gets a call about a mummy loose on the Orient Express in space. So he never did go because he kind of realized that's probably a trap.
Wow. Okay.
But now he took Clara there because, again, one final adventure. So Clara's pissed at him because he lied to her again. He knew that there was danger on here, and he took them there anyway. And she's kind of yelling at him like, that's why I can't travel with you anymore. And now you've made me an accomplice because I just had to lie to this girl and tell her that she's going to be fine. Sure enough, lights flicker. Mummy shows up, starts heading towards the girl.
Right.
The doctor jumps in front of the girl and tells her to focus on, like, her grief and everything bugging her. And he's, like, scanning her with that instrument that he was using to scan people. And he apparently has it absorb all her grief and injects it into his own head.
Yeah.
So now the mummy thinks that the doctor is that girl.
Right. He says, well, don't worry about it. It thinks you're me now.
Yeah.
No.
That I'm you. It thinks
that
I'm you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they start the timer and the mummy starts walking towards him, and the doctor, like, runs right up to the mummy because he realized it takes 66 seconds, so it can't kill me right away anyway. So he runs up to it, that's where he does the line that everyone was waiting for, which was, hi, I'm the doctor. I'm going to be your victim tonight. Are you my mummy? Which is a reference, of course, to the Ninth Doctor episode with the little gas mask kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
You didn't catch that one?
That's a famous scene.
Yeah, that's very famous. That's, I think, the Ninth Doctor's best episode.
It was a creepy
my
episode.
Mummy.
Yeah.
So the doctor, meanwhile, is now that he can see the mummy, he's observing it. He notices under the tattered shit, the mummy has tattoos. And he notices the tattoos match the markings on the scroll. And
Jesus, I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw what he was saying, and I thought he meant the mummy was wearing some kind of tattered uniform.
No, no, no.
See, I didn't even catch that because it was a quick shot.
It was super quick, and the doctor was yelling fast.
Yeah. In that Scottish brogue.
Yeah, of course. So the doctor figures out that the mummy is a soldier who is running on ancient technology that's keeping it alive.
Soldier again.
Yeah.
I keep pointing out these motifs.
There's a big soldier theme running through this whole series.
Yeah.
So the mummy was actually a soldier that's been kept alive for centuries because of this technology that lets it absorb all the energy out of somebody.
Creepily.
Yeah.
Let's let you become a monster from our nightmares to do this.
Right. So the soldier thinks it's still fighting a war and protecting its flag, which is what the scroll is. Turns out the scroll is its flag.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't realize that whatever war it was in isn't even going on anymore. And just as the thing is about to grab the doctor and the timer's about to run out, the doctor's like, we surrender! And the mummy stops. And now everybody can see it. It leaves its phase. And it salutes the doctor. And collapses in a pile of dust.
Yeah.
It was just waiting to find out the war was over.
Sad, sad tale.
It was a sad tale. Like that, like the mummy was the bad guy of the whole episode, but it turns out it just didn't know what the fuck was going on. It thought it was still fighting this war and trying to protect this flag.
That was, see, that was that technobabble I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
That is such a leap for even for the doctor to take. It just lost me, Doc. This part of the episode just lost me. I was like, really? You figured that out from that? And, you know,
I think it made a lot of sense.
Uh-oh.
For me. Once again, Doctor Who is a show with no fan consensus.
That's true.
There, you fuck it. Like last week's episode, we loved it. I get on Reddit.
I loved it.
Plenty of other people loved it too. But there were also a lot of people who were like, fuck that episode.
And Doc, to be fair,
yeah,
we've given every episode nearly an A.
Nearly, yeah.
Except for Robin Hood, and I'm not going to give this one an A. But I think the difference is I would rewatch that Robin Hood episode. I would never sit through this one again.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so surprising to me.
I hated this episode.
we'll get to that because the episode's about over. So
okay, yeah, that's true.
Gus goes, "Thank you for solving the problem, but unfortunately,
now I'm going to kill all of you."
Unfortunately, the end of this experiment did not require any survivors, and it starts sucking all the air out.
It's so much funnier now that I know that's John Session.
Yeah. The doctor picks up this device that kind of fell out of the mummy. It turns out it was the teleporter it was using. And he's trying to get everybody off the ship. Meanwhile, everyone's passing out because air's being pulled out from the ship, including Clara. She passes out too. The doctor having four lungs and two hearts. I don't know if he has four lungs. He might just have two hearts. I think I made up four lungs. I know he has two hearts.
We know he's got two hearts.
We know he has two hearts.
And
which
I think
hearts are pumping oxygen to your blood, so he probably can hold his breath longer.
And I think he's got 18 lungs.
So. He's got 18 lungs.
Yeah.
And 9 stomachs. he can last a little bit longer, but then it cuts to the outside of the Orient Express and it just explodes. Then we cut to a beach on some sort of futuristic looking planet.
Beautiful city.
Clara wakes up, and this part I loved, because she goes, "What happened?" And he goes, "Well, I got that thing working. It was a teleporter. I teleported everybody into the TARDIS.
Yeah.
We took off, and I dropped everybody off at the nearest civilized planet, which happened to be here."
Yeah, but Doc, and then he goes, "At least that's the story I'm telling."
Well, no, no. He says
no, no,
that.
No, wait a minute. He implies that.
No, hold on. But you're missing, like, the funny part of that.
Oh, okay.
And Claire goes, "Oh, wow, really?" And he goes, "No, I just saved you. I let everyone else die." he does this really awkward fake laugh.
Yeah, but how do we know he wasn't kidding?
Because the engineer was still there.
Where?
They got back to the TARDIS, and the engineer guy was looking.
Oh, God, that's right. He was.
Yeah, he was looking at the TARDIS, and he didn't seem too upset.
Why am I so willing to believe the worst in this doctor all of a sudden?
I don't know. I think because he's very convincing.
Yeah. Wow, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. I was wrong.
He also reveals to Clara, because Clara's like, "Wait, so you knew you could save her?" And he goes, "Well, I didn't want Gus to figure out the plan. So we had to kind of pretend to say, like, oh, just lie to her and say I can save her." He kind of knew. But he said he didn't – he had a feeling he could save her because he was figuring stuff out. But he's very honest with Clara, and he tells her, "Look, but if I hadn't saved her, if I got it wrong, I would have had to have kept going until I finally beat this thing. Sometimes – the only decision you can make can be a terrible decision." And that's when Claire kind of realizes he's trying his best to save everybody. But
we don't know that Clara thinks that.
Well, she kind of makes that clear on the beach there.
I don't know. Doc, something weird's going on in this show, man. Something weird's going on. Because, all right, listen. Let's jump to where they're in the TARDIS and the engineers there.
They're in the TARDIS. The engineers there. The doctor kind of offers that the engineers stay with them, but he declines. And so the engineer leaves. Clara, meanwhile,
gets a call from Danny.
She gets a call from Danny.
Yeah.
Oh, she talks to the doctor first and asks him, like,
that's right.
Yeah. So this going and, you know, having to make the dangerous decision and going to save all these people, is this like an addiction for you? And he goes, you don't really know if it's an addiction unless you've tried to stop and can't.
That's right. And buddy, let me tell you, that's the truth, Ruth. I don't know what that means.
The doctor's never tried to stop. But then he says to Clara, let me know how it goes, because she's about to stop. But she takes that call from Danny, and Danny's like, so is it done? And, she's like,
and by the way, Danny's laying around the house again.
Well, I have a feeling that it was like 5 minutes later from his perspective.
That's true. That's, I didn't even think of that. You gotta remember it's a time machine, dude.
Yeah. So, she's like, yeah, it's done. Everything's cool. I love you.
I love you too, Doc.
And she hangs up, and then she has this look like, fuck, I can't do this. And so she runs back up and she goes, he's fine with it. The doctor's like, what? And she goes, well, you know, it was his idea that I stop, and he's fine with it.
Okay, Doc, can I give you my interpretation of that scene?
Yeah.
She talks to Danny, and he and then she goes like, I'm going to play along with something here. I'm going to trick the doctor about what was being said.
Yeah.
And it disturbed me, and that's why I said earlier, what is Clara's long scam here.
From this scene, Clara made a decision that she's going to keep traveling with the doctor, but she's going to try to hide it from Danny while also trying to hide from the doctor that Danny's totally cool with that.
So she's now
trying to spin plates again. This was the moment where we realize that Clara's also addicted to the adventure. When she challenged the doctor about him being addicted, she's talking about herself. This was very much projecting.
There you go.
I also think that Clara is gonna die. That this is now this decision she made of lying to both of them. To keep going on adventures. If she had a shot of getting off the TARDIS alive, I don't think it's going to happen now. I think this was the moment where she going to die.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
It's my feeling that her deciding, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to keep traveling with you. Everything's cool. This is sort of her downfall from here.
Wow.
Because she made the wrong call. Honesty is the right.
She did. Yeah.
Honesty is the right call. And she probably should have left. I mean, I get wanting to stay with the doctor, but where she was, like what she was going through, how she doesn't like this, can't trust him quite. You know, she can't quite trust the doctor, although in this episode it turns out he was being a dick on purpose to hide his true intentions. But she made the wrong call, and I think that's going to have some negative repercussions.
Has a companion ever died before?
Yes. Adric, I think, is the first companion to straight up die. He was a fifth doctor companion. He was like a young dude who was like 16 or 17 or something. He sacrificed himself to blow up a Cyberman ship in an episode called Earthshock. Mm-hmm. And that like haunted the fifth doctor for like the rest of his tenure, to where when he regenerated into six, he started hallucinating his past companions, including Adric, yelling like, doctor, doctor, help, or some shit.
Oh my God.
Clara kind of showed that she is addicted to this adventure too. And I think that's gonna fuck her shit up.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of on your side with that now, because I thought she was just like doing some kind of scam, but I see she's like, she's the one that's addicted, and
she's definitely addicted. Now, I think the doctor's addicted to it too. But when she was bringing it up, it was definitely projection. She was also talking about herself.
And by the way,
because this whole episode, she had little weird moments of like. Like, at one point, she was talking to Macy and telling her why she's leaving the doctor. And then Macy's like, well, why didn't you just leave when you yelled at him before? And she goes, well, I couldn't leave things on a slammed door, you know? And she goes, sure you can. People do it all the time, you know, except for people who can't leave for whatever reason. That's when Clara kind of has this weird moment of like, fuck, I kind of can't leave.
Oh, my God, she's going to die. She's You're really going to die. She's really going to die, isn't
I
she?
I think she could. I mean, I'll say this. If she dies, I'm not going to be surprised. It still feels like, even with the shit I've explained, that, you know, you're still not hot on this episode.
No, I'm not. I didn't like it. I'm giving this episode a D.
Wow.
It's my lowest grade I've given an episode this season because of the techno babble and the story gaps. And, I really, really wanted to like this episode, but it just, and that whole, I said it, the story gap. So I did not like this episode at all. It had some good moments.
Wow.
But, I'm giving it a D. You know what? I'll give it a D plus.
Wow. Good. I think that this, along with Listen and The Caretaker.
Oh my God, Doc.
Excuse me, Listen and Kill the Moon.
Okay.
Is one of the best episodes of the season. But yeah, I fucking love, I think this episode also was a lot better than it had any right to be with the title Mummy on the Orient Express. I was expecting a very much standalone, doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things episode. But it set up so much for what's going to come now with, Clara and the doctor.
I'm so worried that she's going to die now.
I know. I think she is, and I'm worried about it too. I think the monster was effective. It was kind of claustrophobic being on that train with this monster that can just attack anybody, really. And you get to stare at the monster for 66 seconds before it actually kills you.
Doc, you know what would – I'm sorry for interrupting your review here. But you know what would have saved this for me? If it had showed the monster reconstituted as a soldier in Missy's heaven.
Yeah, we did not get any Missy heaven this episode.
I'm obsessed with that. I'm sorry, guys. I'm obsessed with that. There's a lot of reoccurring themes this season that I want to see some sort of into or conclusion of.
Well, I think you're going to have to wait till the end of the season.
Oh, Doc, don't tell me that.
But yeah, I like that episode a lot. I give it an A+.
A plus?
Fuck yeah.
Wow, man.
I had zero problems with that episode. I think it was on point.
Tension.
I'm sorry tension. We disagree. Yeah.
Tension in the
this
room.
This podcast is over.
I'm leaving. I'm done with this.
We get mad at each other. Yeah.
I'm trying to create controversy to create buzz.
Yeah, we should. Yes. Let's have a, like Doctor Who, let's have a fight at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
And then we'll reconcile next episode.
I'm done with you, Doc.
Fuck you then.
And then next week, I'll go, Doc, it's been 4 weeks.
I'm done doing this show with you. We're done. I can't travel with you anymore, man. I just can't do things the way you do it.
It's the end of Two Fat Daleks.
It's the end of Two Fat Daleks. Fuck you and fuck the horse you rode in on. Play the sound effect.